Parshas Vayechi begins with the words Vayechi Yaakov, and Rabbi Zvulun Charlap Shlita, one of my wonderful rabbeim, pointed out that a parsha that deals with this so intensely, strangely begins, and it's referred to as Vayechi, correct Rabbi Charlap. Why is that so? So Rabbi Charlap explained that when a person leaves a legacy in Nitzchias, in things that make a difference, and he continues to live on long into the millennia, and becomes more and more alive as the time goes on. I always found it interesting that if you think about how alive Rashi, Tosis, and the Rambam are today, as people worldwide discuss Vazakt Rashi, what does Rashi say, instead of what did they say, that's called the Torah's Chaim. Vayichi Yaakov, Yaakov Avinu continues to live on. Why is that? Because of his words. And Yaakov Avinu goes on and he goes ahead and gives a bracha to Ephraim and Menashe, the bracha we call Hamalach HaGoel. And Rashi explains, as the pasuk says, "Hamalach haGoel osimi kora yivarech es haNe'arim," that he should give a bracha to the Ne'arim. And who are the Ne'arim? Menashe and Ephraim. My father's 8th grade Rebbe, Reb Zadel Epstein, who later grew up to live in Eretz Yisrael and was a big part of the Torah Or family. So Reb Zadel Zatzal notes that while Yaakov Avinu gives the bracha to Ephraim first and has the right hand on his head, when it comes to Hamalach, Rashi says that it refers to Menashe first, and why is that so? Says Rav Zadel, you have to understand that both Ephraim and Menashe had critical jobs. Menashe was going to be involved with Tzarchei Tzibor, with the community, while Ephraim sat and learned. And lest one think that Ephraim's contribution was going to be considered inferior, that's why we always say, Vayosem es Ephraim lifnei Menashe, putting Ephraim before Menashe, whenever the question is a question of bracha. However, when it comes to protection, Menashe, who's the one who's out in the world, who needs to be mentioned first, HaMalach HaGoel Osimi Kora Yivarech Es HaNe'arim, when we need a Malach who's going to protect, it's the protection for Menashe that has to come first, because it's his job that puts him at greater risk. We make a declaration, V'ani Inei Nasati Shechem Achad Alachecha, I gave you an extra Shechem, Yaakov tells Yosef. And Rav Shalom Yosef Zevin Zatzal notes that the word Shechem has two meanings. One is a chelek, a portion, and the other one is Shechem. A Shechem is a shoulder. And Rav Zevin notes that the meanings seem to be, in, to a certain degree, opposites. A portion speaks to one's entitlement within something, or ownership. But a Shechem, a shoulder, is something that gets left over. For when we put our efforts into chitzonius of the world, then it's a Shechem, or a Shechem, of refuse. And that, says Rav Zevin, is a place that's muchan leparanios. However, when we develop, we use it to develop a portion, and we lay a stake into it as an investor, it's chelek Hashem amo, it's shchem achad, liavdo v'leivav shalem. Then the Torah tells us, aside from the grandchildren, Yaakov Avinu gives a bracha to his children, vayikra Yaakov el banav. And Yaakov seems to be concerned about giving Musar to Reuben, Shimon, and Levi, and he delays it until he's on his deathbed. And why is that so? So the Sifri and Devarim notes that Yaakov Avinu was afraid that if he was too harsh with them, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi might leave him and join up with Esav. Neriah Zatzal notes that we see how careful a person needs to be when giving Musar. If you're too tough in the Musar, it might lead the children or the students away to the dark side. Then in the middle of Yisachar's Bracha, we're told, I'm sorry, in the middle of Dan's bracha, Dan is told, Lishuwascha kivisi Hashem. We're told that Yaakov Avinu declares, I await your salvation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Medrash comments that Yaakov thought that the Geula was going to come when Dan was at the top of his game. And when he saw that Yaakov Avinu, that Dan's progeny was going to die, he knew it was not destined to be, and so he said, Lishuwascha kivisi Hashem, I still put my trust in you. And the Medrash goes on to explain that who was that individual when Dan was at the top of his game? That is a reference to Shimshon Hadani, Shimshon Hagibor, the famous Shimshon. Now, why does Yaakov see more promise in Shimshon's rise than in the rise of all the other leaders who rose in Jewish tradition? Rav Nosson Tzvi Wachfogel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explains that he knew Shimshon was to be a Nazir. Yaakov knew that Shimshon was going to be a Nazir, and to be a Nazir, one needs to take on a Kabbalah. needs to accept something extra. And this some acceptance, this Kabbalah demonstrates a certain personal responsibility, which is important to the makeup of a kingly personality. Person must say, it's my job. Unfortunately, in Shimshon's case, this was not the reason for his Naziris. And hence, Yaakov saw his rise was not the final one. And so Yaakov davened for Jewish salvation at the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lishua Secha, Kibisi Hashem. At the end, Yaakov Avinu gives a bracha, Ish Kibir Chaso Beirach Osam. He gave a bracha to each child based according to his abilities. Rav Shachter always used to tell us that parents need to educate their children in accord with the children's capabilities. Chanoch Lanar Al Pi Darko. Each person is totally different, and that different personalities approach the same concept differently. Rabbi Ner Hirsch, Rav Shachter would tell us, explains that the sin of Yitzchak was that Yitzchak didn't realize that Esav was pressured to live in the style of Yaakov, and suggests Rav Hirsch, had Esav been educated somewhat differently, he might have turned out differently. Therefore, said Rav Shachter, we need to have a basic learning for everyone. Everyone has to learn Torah, but we're ruining Talmidim by making everyone think that they need to learn in the exact same way. Rav Shachter always pointed out to us that Zvulun got the same kavanah in his bracha as Yisachar, but each one got the bracha that he was cut out for, and that we need to make our learning in Shmiras HaMitzvos not based on all or nothing if we're going to accept them. If we do, if it's always all or nothing that we all have to be cookie cutter, we're going to lose those who aren't fully there yet. Ish kibir chaso is not a weakness. Ish kibir chaso is a lechatchila. Finally, at the end of the parsha, Yosef HaTzadik utters those magic words, Bakod Yivkod, which will serve as the secret to the one who will later rise and lead the Jewish people. And Rav Volbi Zatzal used to explain that this concept of Pekida is the greatest of the seven levels of Geula. We note them every Rosh Chodesh. Yale, Yavo, Yagia, Yeroi, Yeratze, Yishama, and Yipakeid. So Pakod Yivkod is the seventh level. Because, as Rav Volbi explains, Zechira is not a standalone concept, but rather part of a major undertaking. He quotes the Vilna Gaon, who notes that each of the seven levels, Yala, Yavo, Yagia, Yeroi, Yeratze, Yishama, Yipakeid, corresponds to the seven heavens, and when Pekida happens, the Geula request has pierced the seven heavens. Finally, in the Haftorah, we read about David HaMelech's charge to Shlomo HaMelech, and he reminds him that he has to remember Asher Asa LiYoav ben Tzruya, that which Yoav ben Tzruya did to me when he killed the two generals Abner ben Ner and Amasa ben Yeser. And the fact is, David HaMelech makes them issues that happened to him. What is it that killing the generals had to do with David HaMelech? So the Brisker Rav explains that it had nothing to do with it. What David HaMelech notes is that when Yoav joined Adonio, that was the first strike. And then killing Avner was a second strike, and Amasa was a third strike. But Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, suggests that by killing them with a sword, then what Yoav was doing was that he created the impression that David HaMelech had ordered the hits on Avner and Amasa. And the reason he did it was because of what we call Morida B'Malchus, or being Morida B'Malchus, rebellion against the crown. This was likely to cause unrest against the crown unfairly, and so therefore Yoav had actually sinned against the crown and against David HaMelech by killing the generals, because he started a battle that ultimately was going to lead to the blame of David HaMelech. We have a responsibility to know what our responsibilities are, and not always to go ahead to be machmer on somebody else's accord. Our responsibilities give us the right to lead an ideal life. Shabbat shalom to all. Chazak, chazak, v'nischazik.